time, Mr. Paul Byram. There it is. That's a bit of secret love. Secret love from Paul Byram. Paul Byram. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Well, you've been away and stuff. You've been hither and yon, haven't you? You've been all over the shop.
I know, sure. Look, I'll go anywhere they pay me, Martin.
Well, you're a bit like myself, except we can't go anywhere now. That's the other thing. Even if they did pay you, I can't go. Listen, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember that time in September when... I'm trying to remember when we first crossed swords. Was it back in the open house days? Was it on the telly?
It was. And I stand to be corrected, but I think I was about 14.
I was about 16 at the time then. Carry on,
yeah,
keep going.
Only a year or so. And I was about 14. I think I brought out my first album at the time called The Golden Voice.
I think you're right.
On Open House.
Yes, yeah, with Miss Kennedy and myself.
Miss Kennedy, yeah. That's the golden days of RT, for sure.
Don't say that. Winning Streak will be back in time.
But it is a memory.
I think that was the beginning.
It is. It just goes to show we've both been in the game quite a long time, Martin.
Well, that's true. That's true. And they went on to release various albums over the years. And we followed you with great interest. Listen, firstly, congratulations. You have a brand new album out, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do, firstly, financially or otherwise these days. But how did you put it together? How did the whole idea for the What I Did for Love album come to pass?
You know, Marty, it's been a few years since I've released an album. I think 6 or 7 years since my last album. Mainly because I don't like doing albums unless I can do them well. And if I can't put a full orchestra on it, I very rarely go into the studio. So I wanted to do songs that I had been touring for the last few years. I just turned 40 and I wanted to do...
But you have the body of a 27-year-old.
I'm very kind, Marty, but certainly not. In any case, though, I ache in pain every time I get up in the morning. So, like that, I don't feel like a 27-year-old in the mornings. But in any case, though, I had been touring for the last while, and I wanted to, you know, when you turn 40. Some people will deny it, but when you turn 40, you take time out and you kind of go, well, where am I? What am I doing?
Yes.
You know, have I achieved everything I want to achieve? Have I done what I wanted to do? And if you can turn around and say, I've done everything I wanted to do when by the time I got to 40, you're probably lying.
I
was kind of, you know, when I left school at 18, I thought by the time I'm 40, I'll be married, I'll have two kids, I'll have a gorgeous mansion, I'll drive my Bentley and I'll be world famous.
Good man.
And of course, you know, by the time you get to 40, you realise that life has other plans for you and you know, you get knocked back and you get all those things. And so I wanted an album that reflected somewhat the 40 years that I've had, the ups and the downs, and also some reflective pieces in there. And I wanted it to be a positive vibe, you know, but something melancholy in some respects. And so I thought if I'm going to do these songs, I want to do it with a big full orchestra. So there's a 65-piece orchestra on the album.
Where'd you get them?
We actually had to go to Prague. We got the Prague Philharmonic
Orchestra. The Prague Philharmonic. We refer to them as the orchestra that never sleeps. They are phenomenal.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable. And we did all 13 tracks with the orchestra in one day.
You're joking.
Now, Marty, that is off the charts for me. Like, so I have always in the past prided myself in having Irish orchestras and Irish musicians on any of my albums. But this year, with the restrictions that we had in Ireland, it just wasn't possible. It would have taken weeks on end to get the recordings done.
Surely,
and of course,
surely,
the expense
yeah.
of that alone. And that's to be respected. And it was funny when we were over there, because you do it online and you watch the studio and you're talking to the desk and the desk.
Well, you sang elsewhere. You didn't know.
I sang guide vocals and that was sent to them. No, you couldn't. You couldn't go. And I was sitting, Gavin Murphy did the arrangements and produced the album.
He's very good.
And we were looking, he's excellent. And we were looking in at the studio. 63 musicians in the one studio.
Was there a mask amongst them?
Not a mask to be seen. And in between takes, you're hearing the coughs and you hear the sneezes. And I looked at Gavin at one point and I said, Jesus, Gavin, thanks be to God we didn't go over.
I know.
But that being said, the music, they were just...
Oh, they're phenomenal. They're phenomenal.
Like, literally, they would take one look at the piece, they'd run through it, and then they'd get two or three takes at it.
But they are highly prized musicians, and it has to be said. You know?
Oh, they are. Yeah, remarkable. So I was delighted, and the result I was delighted with. And so when we went in then to do my vocals, yes. I said to Gavin, I said, Gavin, I want this album to be a performance. I don't want to do 10 takes of each song.
Good for you.
I don't want it to be vocally perfect. I don't want it to be, I want it to be a proper performance. And so we did two takes of each song, maybe three.
All right.
On the odd occasion. And I think it's the most, I suppose, honest vocal recording I've ever made.
Have your favourite on it. We play it.
I at the moment I'm enjoying there's a couple. So I'm enjoying the version I did of the U2 song, All I Want Is You.
Mm.
I wanted to get my hands on that for a while because Bono's dad, believe it or not, was a tenor.
Yes.
And I did a radio show with Bono years ago and he had mentioned that to me and I sang one of his songs and he said to me, I always wanted to hear what it would be like for my dad to sing one of my songs. So years later now, finally, I've got to go in with the full orchestra and do All I Want Is You.
Send him a coffee.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure he gets millions a day.
I'm sure he does.
But the other one that I really like is an old classic, And I Love You So.
That's a great song. But listen, before we go to Kerry Bomo, let's go with All I Want Is You, because that's a great song.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Is you.
Want Is You. There it is. I'm chatting with Paul Byrom on the wireless this morning, and you were about to talk about Perry Como. How do you choose? What made you choose the songs that you've chosen? I understand All I Want Is You because of the Bono connection and his dad being a tenor. But how did you choose? Like, some of those songs are well before your time, for example. So why would you have picked certain? Why Perry Como, for example?
Well, I've always had a kind of an old, I've an old spirit, like, you know, and I've always enjoyed the older music. I mean, I did an album years ago, I'm sure you remember, Velvet, with all the kind of the old matinee songs.
Was that the one with you in the middle of rocks or something? Were you? You're a great man for standing on the seashores.
Standing and gazing. Yeah, I did that very well.
I think a Paul Byrom sea shanty collection should be coming out any day soon.
Rule nothing out at this stage, Martin.
Nothing.
I've always had kind of a soft spot for those older songs, and it goes back to my childhood. And the reason this song is on the album is for my grandmother in particular. She's 101 years of age.
You sang outside her nursing home, didn't you?
At the nursing home, recently. Heartbreaking. You can't get to see her, and haven't seen her since February. And she just doesn't understand why we can't come in. But anyways, when I was a young lad, I used to spend a lot of time with my grandmother. And at night time, she'd get into bed and I'd be in the other room. And I'd go in and chat to her for a while. And I'd nestle in beside her in the bed. And we would listen to Val Joyce on Late Date.
Yes.
And he would play all those beautiful, beautiful songs. Late Date was just a whole new world to me. It was like Pandora's box of music. And the way he would tell the story and his very, very silky voice talking about the different songs. And I remember, for whatever reason, that song struck a chord. And I heard it then. I was standing on a subway in New York and I had my shuffle on the iPod or whatever. Yeah. And it came on and it just brought me back to that little room with my grandmother. And I said, I'd love to get my hands on it. And I sang it, and the words are just it's such a simple song.
Isn't it a beautiful song?
It's a beautiful song.
Oh.
It's a beautiful song, yeah. But every song on the album I've picked for very personal reasons. It's not just, I like that song or I like this song, I'll just throw them on. So to answer your initial question, you know, I try and put together an album and I want to be able to know that I'm singing, I believe in what I'm singing.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not just singing a song because you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know, or like, it's when I go out to the States and I tour and people ask you to do Danny Boy, I get asked, God, you must be sick of singing Danny Boy. And I'm like, absolutely not. I think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written.
It is a desperately sad
song. If people think about the sentiment.
Oh, it is. Really, yeah,
it's a beautiful song.
Sad. I'm just thinking of And I Love You So. You know who wrote that, don't you? You know it's Don McLean's song.
Oh, I know it's Don McLean.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You've heard his version too, I'm sure. Yeah, you've heard his voice.
I have, but there was just something about Perry Como.
I think so.
I love Perry Como's voice,
Here's Perry Como, actually. Here's Paul Byrom. Have a listen.
And I love you so. The people ask me how. How I've lived till now, I tell them I don't know. I guess they understand how lonely life has been. But life began again the day you took my. Just for me.
now. There he is. That's Paul Byrom doing And I Love You So. There's another track I want to mention. There's a track that we play from time to time with the loss of Sean Connery recently, who did a speaking version of In My Life. It's a beautiful... Oh, the lyrics in that, written by John Lennon when he was a small boy. He was only 20-something, I think, when he wrote it. In My Life.
Remarkable, yeah.
What a song.
Yeah,
a song.
Remarkable. You know? Yeah, and like I grew up listening to the Beatles. My mother was a huge Beatles fan. Yeah. And so I grew up listening. I was very fortunate growing up in the house. I had a great array of music constantly on. So my mom was big into Beatles, but she was also a classical pianist. So I had all that kind of influence there. My dad was big into the Traveling Wilburys and, Roy Orbison and all those lads. So I grew up with all of that.
Surrounded by all this.
Yeah. And then I'd be off singing in choir at the weekend, you know. So I was getting quite a varied taste in music. And that's very much evident now when you see the track listing. It's a mixture of everything. But I suppose I drive a lot of people mad because they don't know what pigeonhole to put me into.
Good.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Yeah. But with regards to In My Life, when I heard that, the first time you mentioned the Sean Connery version, I heard that Liverpool had just won the Champions League. I'm a huge Liverpool fan, and they put together a collage of images from the match and from the Istanbul game, if you remember, and they played Sean Connery and In My Life over it.
All right.
And the hair stood on every part of my body. I have a lot of hair. And so then
you have it.
That was great. I do. And so then and how you know that, Marty?
I'm a great man for watching other people's hair. Oh, we seem to have lost Paul Byrom. Here's In My Life.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever. Not for better, some have gone, and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead, some are
In My Life, I kind of, with the year that it has been, I think it's been a difficult year for everybody.
No question. And
a lot of us have lost loved ones. I think it's one of those years that we're all going to look back on and go, what in God's name happened?
That's very
here?
True. It's
and,
so different.
And that was the track. The track is with that in mind. It's very much a pensive kind of take on the song.
Yes.
And us looking back on things that have gone on in our lives, in our
past. That's right, things that don't work out, all the rest of it. And you know more than anybody else. We all have moments.
Yeah, and I think lockdown has given us moments to sit and think about loved ones that are no longer with us, or things you know, that have changed in our lives over the years, for good and bad. But in particular, just for those, and it's one of those songs. It's just a song that I think you can listen to and just think about those you love.
And listen, compared to me, you're doing concerts as well. You're doing the stage of things, are you?
Yeah, I did one last night actually,
and
they're going great. Yeah, look, I don't do them too often because you don't want people to be sick and sight of you.
No.
So I do one I'm doing for Christmas now as well. And it is great. It's just a great way of kind of keeping in touch with the international following that I would have, because obviously I'm not able to get out there. But, you know, it's quite an intimate thing. I think people initially were like, what is this? But as the year has gone on,
yes,
and more artists are doing it, I think people are getting their head around sitting in, turning it on and just enjoying music.
Well, exactly.
And I see Celine Byrne is doing one soon.
Yes.
On stages.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see that. I myself will sit and watch that. Great, probably one of the best sopranos out there, and she's Irish. And,
absolutely.
Get great pride in seeing Irish acts doing well.
I totally agree.
So,
will you let me know when you're doing the next one, the Christmas one? Will you let us know when you're doing it?
I will, of course.
We can tell everybody, because I think that's important that people, because it's just another way of letting people know. You know, that's really what it is.
It is, and you know, Marty, I will say this: you've always been a great supporter of Irish acts in particular, but of me, and I want to take the moment just to say thank you very much for that.
Don't be silly.
Because it is, well, it might seem nothing to you, but it means an awful lot to me and many like me. I heard you talking to Matthew Gilson the other day,
yes,
on the radio as well, and it means a lot, because now more than ever it's difficult for Irish acts to get our music, especially in our genre, and to have somebody like yourself who is championing us means the world.
Well,
so
you're very good to say it. But you see, the thing is, you deliver as well in spades. So let's face it, you know what I mean. You've always delivered.
Well, we try.
And I remember. Well, you do. But I remember when I saw you all those years ago, as we started our chatting today on Open House, and you could see, as a fellow said, a deaf fella could hear, because you had, as Frank Sinatra used to call it, you had the chops, and you can hear it in somebody, and it was just special. But thank you for saying so, though. You're very good, and it's very important to us. No, it's very important to us on the show and on the station that people realise that, you know, we're here and that we do take heed of new music as well as the old, and that everybody gets a bite of the cherry, because I think that's very important.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a...
Well, it is, and I know for myself, even, it's quite interesting. I've noticed, like, a lot of my friends now are going over to Lyric. Years ago, if you'd have said to my age group, do you ever listen to Lyric? Ah, no, that wouldn't be my bag.
Yeah.
You know, and then word gets, actually, do you know what? Marty in the Morning. Oh, yeah. It's lovely music.
But we're far more diverse than people realise sometimes, it seems to me.
Absolutely. I think people are realising, though, now, you know, and in the time of social media, it's great to see people talking about it and sharing, and that's important.
Well, that's important. Listen, compared to me, how do people get your CD? How do you people get the CD?
Right, well, so there is, absolutely. So Golden Discs, who have been a stalwart for years in Irish music, they are supporting me, which is fantastic. They are stocking it in all 22 of their stores. So when the stores reopen, you'll be able to go in and get your stock and filler in there. And you can go onto iTunes, of course, and download it. You can go onto Spotify. But yeah, all the usual platforms, it should be out there. But for the actual physical copies, you can go into Golden Discs.
And presumably you have a box of them in the corner at home as well, have you?
In the corner, in the attic, my mother's freezer, and
that's
in
right.
my boot at the car.
But I keep
so even
fresh.
When I do funerals, when I pull up at a funeral, I open the boot and I'm flogging them there. You know, it's great. Yeah.
You must go down very well at the funerals.
I'll go anywhere. As we said at the top of the interview, I'll go anywhere, Marty.
I'm getting that impression.
I'm even looking into bar mitzvahs. You know, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Everything. A friend of mine used to say, no distance too far, no job too small, outside top's a speciality. In other words, you'll do anything, anything for money. Listen, dear Joy.
You have to.
I'm thrilled to be talking to you. Now, let me know, please, when that concert is, so we can let everybody else know about it. We just want to wish you the best. I love the initiative that you've employed on this, that you've gone for it and got a big lump of an orchestra.
And you know what? It's great. More than anything else, it's 2020. It's been awful for the music and the arts.
It has.
And this album, I hope, symbolises we're not dead in the water.
And the next trick now is to come and do the album live with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm just sowing seeds.
You heard it from Marty first.
I merely suggested. I think a letter should be sent.
Do you know what you do?
No.
Marty, out of the studio you go and pop down to Joe Chibby and tell him that.
You're sending me now. I was going to suggest you might write a letter. Anyway.
Listen, no better man than Marty.
Deal on.
Listen, talk
keep
to
well.
Soon.
It's been lovely. And I'm going to, I know people will say it's November, for God's sake. I'm going to wish you a happy Christmas. And please,
God,
we'll see you soonest. God bless, Paul.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care, Marty.
You've been listening to Marty in the Morning on RTÉ Lyric FM.
Niall Carroll's Classical Daytime on RTÉ Lyric FM.